Hey guys, so wanted to restart this podcast, get it kicking, get it up and started again. And for those who don't know, I'm Dave. Been doing jiu-jitsu. This month makes 10 years since I've been doing jiu-jitsu. And I really want to get started on this because there's so many things that are going on. And I'm going whenever I go to the gym, we talk and we chat, and I'm reminded of, maybe 10 years ago when I was starting jiu-jitsu, or maybe 8 years ago when I was trying to figure out some stuff. And I really want to just be able to share the concepts and the thought process behind it, and not necessarily cover too much of the, technique clips that you'll see like on Instagram or shorts on YouTube, but really just be able to talk about some of these ideas and have them like fleshed out. And because these are the ideas, honestly, to me, that really shaped my jiu-jitsu and really changed how I view things. And I think that's really where people really improve, not just like focusing on the techniques. And I know a lot of people have heard that before, like, hey, don't like focus on the techniques, like focus on what you need, the conceptual approach, and you're going to get better. Now, obviously, that's true, but if you're just starting off and you don't have any techniques, then obviously you need to get some techniques, and then you need to be able to apply those concepts to those techniques. Just like if you're getting started in anything, you got to learn the basics, right? And then you can actually conceptually start applying those basic skills, right? You got to be able to add and subtract and do your multiplication and division. And then you can start working with, fractions, and you can start working with, geometry and all the other types of math that are out there. And it's with that, just about everything. Like, you want to get into coding, or you want to get into cybersecurity, you got to learn the basics, how to build a hyperlink, or how to secure your network. And then you go on to actually building out full-fledged websites. But guess what? Those basic techniques that you use to create a hyperlink or whatever else, or string on a page, like some text on a page, like, you're still going to be using those basic skills. And the same thing could be said for jiu-jitsu, right? How to do a basic arm bar, how to do a basic, grab a kimura, how to do just about anything, right? Like the basic movements, you do need those. And then it's all about concepts and the approach to apply those basic techniques that we have. And so today I really wanted to talk about how we learn things incorrectly. I truly believe that we learn a lot of moves incorrectly. And I think that when you look at let's say when you look at how a basic arm bar, like I was just saying, when you look at a basic arm bar, usually it's taught with the person laying down, and your uke, or your person that you're drilling on, and they're just like laying down on the ground, and you have their arm, right? And then they allow you to do the arm bar, or they allow you to do the transition to the arm bar. And of course, there's something to be said. Like, again, you have to learn how to do the technique. You have to know that, right? It makes sense. However, I do believe that we're practicing on really bad defense. And I'm going to do another like podcast video, or podcast on this, in terms of like different tiers of defense, and how it will make you better at jiu-jitsu. But for now, just understand the concept of, if I'm drilling a static move of me just like arm barring somebody who's already laying down without necessarily resisting against me, that doesn't necessarily translate to me being able to do that move live in a row, even if I am like working on the transitions, right? If I'm working on the transitions to the arm bar, that doesn't translate. So I remember when I first was getting started, or a year or 2 years in, I'm learning all these different techniques, even 3 or 4 years in, I'm learning all these different techniques, and I'm not ever like really able to hit them as often, or against better guys. I'm not able to hit them, and I'm trying to figure out, well, maybe I'm just doing the techniques wrong. And the reality is, they're not putting themselves in position for me to be able to apply those techniques. Their preventative jiu-jitsu is better than my offensive jiu-jitsu. And I think that's something that really needs to be talked about, right? If we're only focusing on attacking, like, best case scenarios, right? When we have them in the best case scenario, then we're not going to get better. We got to figure out, all right, now I know how to do the armbar. How do I get him to this position? How do I get him to be like, how do I get him in side control? For example, I struggle to get to side control, right? How do I get the person to be here for me to be able to even apply this position? And when I'm in side control, how do I get his arm to be in this perfect spot? Because sometimes I get to side control, but the person's arm is not there. They're underhooking somewhere else, they're ghost escaping, they're doing something where I'm not able to hit the move off, right? And you'll ask some instructors, and I know some instructors I had some in the past, and they just say, you know, that's because you suck and you got to get better. And you know, that's how people talk in jiu-jitsu. That's how we talk sometimes, and I'm guilty of like just jokingly doing that. But more importantly, it's like recognizing the positions, recognizing the concept of why that's important. Say, for example, the arm bar. Why am I able to hit the arm bar from whatever scenario? Well, it's because I'm isolating the arm, right? Or like I prefer Kimuras. I love Kimuras, right? Anytime an elbow is bent, that's asking for a Kimura. Right, it doesn't matter where the Kimura, like where you see it. It really doesn't matter. Even if somebody takes your back, if you're able to, you know, get their arm right there, that's you still technically have a Kimura. Now it becomes kind of a stalemate at that point. You're not really able to break anything that I've tried and seen. But yet, right. So going back to the point of, you know, having these like poor defensive postures when we're learning new moves and constantly staying in that cycle, there's consequences to that. There's consequences. Is like, you know, your habits are not going to be as effective, right? Your training results are not going to be as effective. And then also ultimately the self-talk that you have when you're driving home is not going to be positive, right? And so how can we go about avoiding or overcoming these types of barriers? At least one method that I've done, and I learned this from the Gracie Training Center when I was in South Korea in Seoul, Gangnam. And basically all their training centers work the same way. I believe the Gracie Academy, all their training centers work the same way. So you learn the move and then you start building resistance with your training partners on that move, right? And so their online platform also like goes over this. So the first phase, you and your partner, yeah, your partner should be like a dummy, like not actually doing anything. And then it moves on, right? The next is like maybe, and when I say dummy, like not doing anything, they just literally are letting you do the move. Then it moves on to somebody who's actually moving, but they don't really necessarily know jiu-jitsu, but they're just trying to move and just give you a little hard time. You can say like maybe 10%, 15%, you still should be winning, right? And then your training partner just continuously ups the difficulty or resistance, right? And to the point where, all right, now it's kind of like a struggle, right? Right when it becomes a struggle, right when your training partner actually stops you from doing the move. And by the way, your training partner is learning in this process. So when you are the training partner, you should be sharpening your defense. Whenever you are an uke for somebody, you should always be thinking, what is making this move work? What if I did this? All right, well, in this position, possibly in this position, there's nothing that I can do defensively. Like, I'm just got. All right, how do I stop myself from getting into this position? That should be the thought process, right? So as you guys are repping this move, as you're drilling this move, right, and your uke is upping the difficulty, they should be thinking, ah, okay, what if I did this to stop him? And then by the time where you guys are like now, you know, you did the 50%, you did 60, 75, 80. Now you guys are like actually positionally sparring, live roll type of sparring in this position, working on this move, arm bar, kimura, whatever the back take, whatever it is. Now at this point, you still should be able to hit the move, right? When you get to the point of, I guess, let me backtrack a little bit. When you get to the point of like, dang, like maybe 60% the person's resisting, you're like missing, you're messing up. It's like, okay, let's stop. Let's pause for a second. What are you doing that is stopping me from being able to hit this arm bar or the kimura or the back take or whatever, right? What are you doing? Have that conversation with your partner. And then you go back at it, right? And then you're not going to win all the time, and your partner's not going to win all the time. And you guys go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That is truly how you develop these techniques to the point where now, after you spent maybe 10 minutes of going back and forth with this one position, this one move, right? Usually classes are about an hour, right? So you spend 10 minutes going over this one move, and then maybe the instructor might add in a variation to that move, right? And then you spend another 10 minutes going over that variation, or maybe 5 minutes going over that variation of you guys constantly going back and forth, trying it out, working the defensive side of it, but also working the offensive side of things. You're going to get you're going to be much better. Much better off than had you just sit there and just mindlessly drill these moves, right? And I've seen this like in a lot of gyms that I go to. You see the instructor teach the move, and everybody's just kind of like maybe doing their own thing, adding like, you know, a transition to it or a finish to the move that the instructor showed. And then kind of like everybody's just waiting to roll instead of like using that time effectively to actually hone both your offensive and defensive skills. And I really think that is a missed opportunity. And because of that, a lot of people don't necessarily progress, even though they're at a lot of classes. They're not necessarily sharpening their mind. They're not sharpening the conceptual, like the concepts of why this works. They're not thinking about why this works. It's just do this and get said result. It's like, well, why does this move work? And does this fit with my game? Does this fit with my leg length and my arm length and, you know, my weight or, you know, my gender? Sometimes there's certain moves that women just don't want to do, or men don't want to do that women can do, right? Whatever the case may be. Or sometimes just moves that you just personally don't like, right? I'm not a huge leg locker, for example. I can do it, but I just don't really find it enjoyable. I enjoy actually finishing the roll with a submission, like, you know, a smother, I should say, or a rear naked choke or something along those lines, where the fight actually would be over, right? Opposed to, like, you know, handicapping somebody, which is, they're very effective. Don't get me wrong. They're very effective. It's just I find joy out of that. Anyway, so going back to it, we need to really get out of that loop of that mindlessness of like when we're just in class and we're just waiting to roll. Like, use that time to actually sharpen that skill so that when you do roll, you're able to actually use the moves that you learned in class, right? Like, that's the whole point of coming to class and learning something new from somebody that's better than you, right? Your instructors are better than you, usually, like, you know, or they're maybe they're better at you than you at something, right? And you know, you want to add that thing to your game. And if the training is not necessarily in that way, it becomes very, very difficult. If you're just used to just mindlessly drilling moves right when rolls start, you're not going to be able to hit it, right? And so that's like one thing. I don't know if anybody who's listening that actually rolls with me, whenever we do like the move of the day, I'm instantly like kind of putting everybody in that position to hit the move of the day. Because in my mind, I'm like, all right, I've been working on the defense as the dummy. I've been thinking like, oh, maybe I can do this. As the uke, I'm like, maybe I can do this to stop the person. Maybe I can do this. So now instantly, I want to go in the live role and then see if my defense is actually working live, right? And so I just try to jump straight into that position, not necessarily telling people, hey, let's start there. But I'm going to try to end up in that position. If the person wants to start there, even better for me, right? Because I want to work on that. And those are some ways of, you know, we can really overcome that cycle and really get better. The better you are at defense, I personally feel like the better your jiu-jitsu will become, right? Because then you're going to be less afraid to actually pull a trigger on a couple of different attacks, right? You're going to be, the rounds will actually start lasting longer, which will give you more confidence. And when I say the rounds will last longer, obviously the rounds, if it's 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever the round is, that's the time, right? But what I mean is the submission won't come as soon as it maybe normally does, right? Maybe you might get tapped within 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, right? But when your defense is at a level of high effectiveness, it's very efficient and effective, then the rounds actually don't feel as tiring, but also you're able to go on an offensive approach, offensive attack sequence a lot more, because mentally you're not worried about getting submitted as much, right? And so these are some things that I really think that are beneficial that I personally see. And when I speak with other people who do jiu-jitsu, they kind of struggle with. And I'm hoping that we can all improve. We can all be better. And one thing that I do want to do is start, like, maybe perhaps, like, reviewing some instructionals, clips and saying, you know, why, or actually showing some actual footage of people hitting moves and then showing, like, why the move worked in the first place, right? And what the person on defense did wrong. We always, like, show what the person did offensively that was amazing, but we very rarely show why the person got caught. Like, where was the mistake with the person who got caught? Like, where did they make the mistake? Was it when did it happen? On the initial slap bump, or was the move just that fast, right? Like, where was it? And so these are some things that I want to go over. Those will probably be shorts. But yeah, I think we've been chatting for a while now. I don't want these to be too long. So I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.